What are you really passionate about? I mean, really passionate about? Or to put it another way, what do you care about? What do you really care about? It may be a burden that you carry. It may be a call you've received. It may be a dream you have, a vision you've glimpsed. Whatever you call it, passion is the God-given desire to make a difference. To make a difference in our world for good. We're all passionate about something or someone. It might be a wife, it might be a husband, it might be a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Maybe it's your children, grandchildren, family, a hobby, a cause, a sport, or maybe the armed forces even. Today we're remembering with gratitude those who've given their lives in the service of their country. They were passionate about defending our country, passionate about protecting our democracy, passionate even enough to give their lives. But was it in vain? It depends on us, doesn't it? It depends on what we do with what they've entrusted to us. You may not be called to give your life up, but as a Christian, you have been called to invest your life in His Majesty's service. So what are you passionate about? You know, if you're not sure, others usually can tell. You know, when someone asks you about this passion, you come alive. Your eyes get a little wider. Your pupils dilate. You might raise your voice. You become animated. You start using your hands. You feel energized, and you can't stop talking about it long after they wish you had. So what are you passionate about? In John's Gospel, we find Jesus passionate about three things. And we're going to look at them, and you should have an outline. A passion for God, a passion for His church, and a passion for the lost. First of all, a passion for God, obeying joyfully in response to Christ's love. Notice verse 9 to 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus loves us with the same passion, the same intensity that God the Father loves Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you get it? And Jesus also says that He's told us this so that we can experience the same joy He feels. The same joy, secure in His Father's love. You know, when we understand how passionate God feels about us, cares about us, loves us, how can we not respond? How can we not respond in love in return? Freely, obediently, spontaneously, joyfully. Not because we have to, but because we want to. You know, He loves us so much, He sent His Son to die in our place so that we wouldn't have to. We deserve to die for the things we've done wrong. He loves us so much, He came to take our place. How passionate are you for God? It will depend on how much you understand His passion for you. Because the more thankful you are, the more passionate you'll be, and the more obedient you'll be without needing to be reminded. A passion for God. Secondly, a passion for the church, serving willingly in response to Christ's example. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I have called you friends. For everything I learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. Everything Jesus learnt from His Father, he shed with us. How do you feel about the church? Are you passionate about the church? I am. You know, when we begin to experience God's passion for us, it becomes very natural to want to seek out and be with others who have had the same experience. But do you see the church as an institution, as a building, as a denomination, or as a family? A family of brothers and sisters. Are you excited to be together? To catch up on the week? To find out how they're doing? If we really understand how much God loves us, Jesus would not need to command us to love each other as he's loved us. But because we're frail, we're imperfect, it's early in the morning, we need an occasional jog. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to be here on Sunday. I'm increasingly scheduling my ministry around Sundays. I should have done that a long time ago, I know. But I am. I'm working on it. Because the quality of our love for each other, the way we care for each other, marks us out, says Jesus, as his disciples. This week I've been at the Billy Graham Center at Wheaton College in Chicago with church leaders right across the Middle East, from Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Palestine, Iraq. And it reminded me that we're part of the worldwide church. You know, when you travel, you meet someone with a little cross or a fish, and you find the courage to say, "Are you a Christian?" Or, "I've got one of those as well." And you find yourself having a conversation with them, and you discover how much you have in common. Isn't that fantastic? We're a universal family, and when one is joyful, we share that joy. But when one is suffering, we share the pain, don't we? It was quite poignant last week. We heard the news that Reverend Fadi Haddad, who's a pastor in Katana in Damascus, one of his congregation, could have been you, was kidnapped. What did he do? He raised the money and he went to the kidnappers to plead for the release of his parishioner. But they captured him, they tortured him, and they killed him, because he refused to renounce his faith. Now, he's well known as a loving and a caring priest. He used to put on banquets during the Muslim festivals and invite his Muslim friends in. He wanted to win them. And then on Saturday, the Reverend George Andrea and Manu Pedrosian were kidnapped in Aleppo. George is the director of the Bible Society in Syria, and his kidnappers are asking for $140,000. Pray for God's divine intervention in that situation. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends." That's passion. A passion for God and a passion for his church. But Jesus also talks here about a passion for the lost, sharing freely in response to Christ's commission. "You did not choose me," said Jesus, "but I chose you and I appointed you to go, that you might go and bear fruit," fruit that will last, "so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And this is my command: love each other." In these verses, Jesus is referring to our relationship with those on the outside of the church. The go is to go to the lost, because God loves them too, and he wants them to come to know him. And it's our privilege and our joy to be his ambassadors. Like the disciples, he sends us out to take the initiative to make friends and influence people. That's why I went to South Sudan a couple of weeks back, to help to train church leaders to use Christianity Explored. It's the newest country in the world, it's a year old, and virtually every single citizen suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. because for the last 50 years, there's been a civil war that's touched every village and town in that country. Several occasions we were there, you could hear the automatic gunfire quite close to the cathedral compound. Was it safe? Well, no, it's not safe. But together with the pastors there, we share a passion to see strangers become friends, enemies become brothers and sisters, and pagans become missionaries. I don't know about you, but I feel passionate about justice. I care passionately when I see people abused. I find I can't stand by. I get angry when I see people suffering from racism or prejudice or hostility because of their colour, their nationality, or their faith. Apartheid is a sin. Anti-Semitism is evil. Islamophobia is unacceptable. But I can't ignore that because Jesus didn't. When you have a God-given passion, you have to express it. Sharing God's love with those outside the church is the quickest way to bring them to Christ. It's the only way. The only way. You can't preach at them. You know, the church in South Sudan is growing so fast they can't train clergy fast enough. They just pick them. They can't build churches fast enough. That's why we hope to go back in January. Two of the bishops have asked us to train all of their clergy to use Christianity Explored. It's going to be an evangelistic tool to reach their communities, but it's also a way of training the church by teaching them Mark's gospel, and it's a way of training leaders to show them how to lead small groups, how to teach, how to lead people to Christ. So we're going to win, build, and send. A passion for God, obeying joyfully in response to Christ's love, a passion for the church, serving willingly in response to Christ's example, and a passion for the lost, sharing freely in response to Christ's commission. Now let's make it personal. I've shared a bit about my passion. What's yours? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. What is your passion? Now, if we all cared about the same things, many of the needs of our world would go unmet. That's why God has created each one of us uniquely and differently and given us different assignments. Different assignments. Think about it. Alexander Fleming is remembered for penicillin. Thomas Edison is remembered for the light bulb. Henry Ford is remembered for cars. Steve Jobs is remembered for Apple computers. James Dyson is remembered for the world's greatest Hoover. And but what will you be remembered for? What do you want to be remembered for? Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will show you. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. He will take the passion he's given you and use it for good. Now, your passion might be for people. You may have a deep burden for children, or for youth, or for senior citizens. Maybe those who are newly married. Maybe those who are unwell, maybe those going through a difficult time, maybe those who are grieving. You may have a burden for immigrants, for prisoners, for the unemployed. If you are you have a people passion, you long to make a difference in people's lives. Go for it. Maybe you have a passion for roles, functions like administration or fixing electricals or flying an aeroplane or investing money or being creative with graphics. Well, if that's you, go for it. Passion for people, a passion for roles, a passion for a cause. Maybe your passion is for world hunger, for human rights, for climate change, for the environment, for the suffering church. You're passionate about making sure everyone knows about it, and you're frustrated when they don't share your enthusiasm. Go for it. Discover what your passion is, and then realize it. Here are some passion indicators if you're not quite sure. What is it that you talk about most? You know, imagine we were meeting for the first time, getting to know each other, and suddenly we get onto this conversation. As I said, you begin to speak a little faster, you lean forward, you become increasingly animated, your voice goes up. Well, that's a sign of your passion. It's a topic that would cause you to get up out of bed early in the morning, that keeps you awake late at night. What is it that you want to talk about? What do you daydream about? You know, sometimes our daydreaming allows us to imagine the world that isn't here. Well, just possibly, that's a vision. That's something God has put in your heart that He wants you to do something about. When you're alone, what do you wonder about? What do you enjoy doing? You know, sometimes we have this perverted notion that God couldn't possibly want me to do something I actually enjoy doing. You know, what do you enjoy doing? Make a list of the things you've had the most fun in life doing and see if any of them have anything remotely to do with those three things: loving God, loving the church, and loving the world. What gives you the most pleasure? You know, what do you do that you just lose track of time? You know, you're moving in that direction and time just disappears. You're having a whale of a time. What is it? It might just be a sign of God's passion. What's made a difference in your life? Look back and see what God has used you to do so far. And that might give you an indication of how He wants to use you in the future. And what energizes you? You know, passion should energize, not drain. We become more alive emotionally. The activity or the thoughts about our passion actually give us energy. This is God's way of enabling you to move toward the people, the roles, the causes that He has you in mind. His passion is going to be revealed in what energizes you. And just to make sure that your answer to these six questions is not to, you know, build an empire, become a billionaire, become the CEO of a dubious company. The last question is, does it glorify God and does it build up other people? Because whatever your passion is, it needs to be submitted to this test. Does it glorify God and does it edify others? And if your passion and an expression of it does not meet this test, then you are not talking about your God-given passion. Jesus was communicating the same principle when He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. When we abide in Him, we can ask confidently, knowing that He will be pleased to respond to our requests, because they will reflect His purposes. So His heart's desire becomes our heart's desire. You know, I'm really excited about the appointment of our new Archbishop of Canterbury. According to the Daily Mail, as a peacemaker, he was not afraid to risk his life, reach out and shake hands with Al-Qaeda. Apparently, if we believe the Daily Mail, the Reverend Justin Welby was arrested by the Nigerian army while on a peace mission. Soldiers with machine guns circled in helicopters as rebels blindfolded and bundled him into a speedboat and took this mild-mannered minister into the heart of Nigeria's darkness. You know, only a Daily Mail journalist could write that. Although in extreme danger, this father of five remained relaxed because he was on a peace mission for the church. On another occasion, fresh from negotiating with Al-Qaeda, he got arrested by the Nigerian army. Clearly the Nigerian army did not like the new Archbishop of Canterbury. But you don't have to be an Archbishop of Canterbury to realize your passion. You are never too young to discover your God-given passion. for Malala. It was to campaign for education for her friends in Pakistan. Her father was killed by the Taliban, but it didn't stop her. She was 11 years old when she began to write a diary in Urdu for the BBC. Newsweek tells us Malala wrote about life under Taliban rule, how she hid her school books under her shawl, how she kept reading even after the Taliban outlawed schools for girls. In an entry for January 2009, she says, "Today, our teacher told us not to wear colourful dresses that might make the Taliban angry." But in 3 short years, Malala became the chairperson of the District Child Assembly in Swat. She was nominated for the International Children's Peace Prize by Desmond Tutu. She was a runner-up in the International Children's Peace Prize. And more recently, she started to organise the Malala Educational Foundation, a fund to ensure poor girls in Swat could go to school. And because of that, she was shot by cowardly men who don't believe girls were created equal with boys. But thanks to the NHS, she is recovering in a London hospital from her wounds. Newsweek calls her the bravest girl in the world. She probably is. But you can too, when you discover and you follow your God-given passion. May God give you a passion for Jesus, for his church, and for the lost. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for placing your desires in my heart. Sometimes I have trouble focusing on the things that really matter to you. Sometimes I'm confused, and I make the mistake of confusing other people's passions or my earthly passions for yours. Sometimes I long to fulfill my passion, but I don't know where you want me to serve you. Please be close to me. Help me to stop and be quiet. Help me to listen to your voice, your still, small voice. And please, by God's grace, help me to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.